Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Damon and Ratto, Whitey in for Damon. Steve Kerr is going to join us in just a second here, Ray, and we'll have a lot to talk about with the coach because all of a sudden things with the West being as muddled as they are can change quickly, and now the Warriors, after last night, they look up and, hey, we're in fifth place. Not a bad place to be considering all the ups and downs.
Yeah, considering that 5 days ago they were in ninth.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the nature of this conference, and that's why the real drawing line here is two. Because nobody's catching Memphis, nobody's catching Denver. And Sacramento, as good as they've been, is closer to that, you know, 4 through 13 mess than they are to first or second. And even though it doesn't show that in the standings technically, I think most people regard Sacramento as vulnerable until proven otherwise.
You got Denver, then you got Memphis, 5.5 back, Sacramento, 7 back, Suns, 10.5 back, and the Warriors right there, 11.5 back. They're in a tie, technically, with the Clips, who they play tomorrow night, so another big game. As you said, they're all like playoff games. I know that's so cliche, but the season's been so up and down, there's a lot of truth to that.
They're like play-in games.
I like the play-in. It just makes me nervous to think of the Warriors back in the play-in games.
Well, they might be. I mean, that's what you get when you play defense for 20 games out of 82.
Last night, the Warriors played defense, especially in that third quarter. Steve Kerr talked about the importance of Draymond Green, given the unique defensive game plan the Warriors employed against Dame Lillard.
It was huge, especially with the game plan. Draymond is as good as anybody I've ever seen executing the stuff we were doing tonight. Basically becomes a zone on the backside of the play. If you're going to double Dame at half court or blitz him or whatever, you have to have somebody like Draymond or Loon on the backside or both of them navigate what's happening because it's basically 4-on-3. And I thought they executed beautifully there. And that's why I left the starters out there for as long as I did to start the third quarter.
You know what, Ray? Defense, schmefense. Can I just say that? Defense, schmefense. Give me, you can have your defense and your schemes and your boxing one. Give me dunks like this one.
Long rebound. Jerome will take it in to the right corner, to the right baseline. Finds Kuminga. He'll slash down the lane and dunk it. He took it off just past the foul line. Elevated and slammed it down.
There's been a lot of criticism of the Warriors and the way they've handled their young players. Jonathan Kuminga, to this point, has been at least a moderate success. 16 points last night, making mid-range jump shots. He defends 94 feet. He has been a success story. One of the Warrior developmental staff success stories this year.
Probably the only one. I mean, it depends on how you want to put
Jordan. I think the book's still open on Moody.
Well, no, I don't know if the book is open on Moody.
Well, still there.
He still exists, but until he gets run, and he's not getting any run now, I think you have to look at him as profoundly incomplete. You know, I mean,
but that's just different than saying the book's closed on him. That's all.
Well, but it's
I understand he has he's not playing well. I understand that.
But I don't know if he's playing well or not. He's not playing.
Because he's not
playing. And the Warriors make it clear in how they use players what they think of them. You know, it just there is no room for him. And I don't know if there's going to be room for him down the stretch because every game is now a play-in game. You know, it just you can't afford to give stuff up because if you have two bad games in a row, you're back to ninth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with Moody. But Kuminga has been, you know, the best of the young Bucks.
I
don't include Poole in that group. He's in this sort of weird middle place where he's not really one of the youngins, but he's not really an old guy either. And in fact, he's referred to this himself. He's sort of that weird middle child.
Well, I think when you talk about the player development, because a lot of people have been critical of the Warriors, I kind of bristle at the way people say, Steve Kerr doesn't develop young players. I certainly think Steve Kerr and the staff deserve credit for the way Jordan Poole has come along. I think he deserves most of the credit, as is the case with any player. But I just think it's unfair the way people look at Steve Kerr and say, well, the young player, the Wiseman, they had to trade him. Oh, yes, that's on Steve Kerr. He doesn't develop young players. Steve Kerr, they won a championship last year, Ray. So I get frustrated with that. And I just think it's just such a knee-jerk reaction. Like, wow, it didn't work out as well. Oh, well, because they don't develop young players. And you look at Looney. You look at Jordan Poole. You look at Kuminga. They actually do. Not everyone. Nobody does. But the Warriors actually have done a good job developing young players.
The fact is, when you're still running after championships, development is a distant second. You know, if you want young players developed, go watch Oklahoma City. That can be your team. They got nothing but young players.
They do.
And they're also 12th.
Joe Skiddy.
Yeah.
Right, mate?
Stop.
He's great.
Yeah, but when you start doing the Australian accent again, it's just... like sandpaper.
Isaiah Joe is an incredible shooter. They're just very, very young. They play a lot of close games and they lose them.
But if development is your deal, give up the Warriors and go watch Oklahoma City.
Are you saying
the Warriors' most important players are still the guys in their 30s.
You're saying the idea of trying to come up with the two timeline thing apparently was a media construct. The Warriors.
No, I don't think it was. I think the Warriors really thought that would work.
Do you think it was ill advised?
Yes, I do. Because you can't worry about 26 when you're trying to win in 23. You know, 26 has to take care of itself. I think that probably, if you asked Bob Myers now, given the fact that he agrees with anything anybody ever says, so he doesn't have to have arguments.
Well, he's very good.
He's very good at saying, boy, that's an excellent point, whether he thinks it is or
and
not.
And then he wins you over, and you feel like, this guy's great.
No. Yeah, nobody can blow air up somebody's pant leg quite like him. But the truth is, I think they were in a hurry to suddenly become younger because they were freaking out about the ages of their players, when in fact, those players are still quite functional. And I think it spoke to a level of impatience that they shouldn't have had.
I think it spoke to the fact that they wanted to take advantage of the rare opportunity to have the second pick. Here they'd won, what, three championships, and they had the second pick in the draft because of the gap year, and they swung for the fences, and they tried to pick someone with tremendous upside and hope they landed the next superstar. I think it could have worked. I think they picked. In that case, I don't think they picked a guy who was a very good fit for the way they approach it. I think it could have worked. It was bold. It was a high risk, high reward. But here we are a couple years later, and they do have one more championship, and you can't say they're out of contention for this one.
But here's the other flaw in the plan. They had the second pick, but they had a crying need for a big man who could rim protect, who could rebound, who could change shots, who could set picks. That's what a Warrior center does. And if you look at the pure centers drafted, there were four. And Wiseman was, at the day he was traded, was by far the best of the four. And even the power forwards that were there, the combo center forwards, you know, they were all 6'8". Well, they got that. You know, they've already got those guys. They were looking for something they didn't have in a year in which the draft did not offer. And that's where they, that's where the mistake came. If they had to do it over again, I would venture to say that they'd think about trading down.
Yeah, I think so. But they didn't know at the time.
No, they
didn't know what Wiseman was. And I don't even think Wiseman knew at that time when they drafted him.
No, I don't think Wiseman knows what he is now.
And they also didn't know what they were going to get from Looney, because Looney was coming off of that year where he had neuropathy and it looked like, boy, he might not be able to play. So they had an even more dire need for a center. That contributed to it, too.
But, yeah, I mean, the level of information they didn't have was staggering for a pick in that position, because everybody else was a guard, essentially. They had guards. What they didn't have was the Bogut type, who could be not an enforcer, but the guy who kept order at the rim. And they thought that Wiseman could be that, even though Wiseman had never really had a chance to be much of anything anywhere, because A, he was young, B, he played no college ball, and C,
right, three games?
Yeah, he was still just growing into his body. And so they took a calculated gamble based on the fact that they need a body type like his. But it didn't work. And part of the reason why it didn't work is because the problem with the two timeline thing is you eventually have to pay these guys before they've proven what they're worth.
All right, let's catch up with the outstanding coach of the Warriors after the big win last night. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet only from Xfinity. Coach Kerr, thanks as always so much for your time. Let's start with Steph Curry. As we said last time, we know you're not a doctor, but it sounds like the press release today, the news on Steph Curry, very encouraging. What was your reaction to the news we got today?
I didn't even know there was a press release, frankly, but I've been watching him progress each day and watching him work, and I knew, obviously, that he was coming along well, but what did the release say?
It basically said he's coming along well, and now he's doing some scrimmage.
In all fairness, Coach, there was also, Woj reported, he went beyond the press release from the team, cited sources, and I know you can't comment on any of this, even if you wanted to, and there seemed to be a suggestion that Steph could be back on the upcoming road trip, perhaps as soon as Saturday. That's what fans are hearing. That's what fans are throwing around. And like I say, that wasn't the official team release, but that's why people are getting pretty excited about where Steph is right now.
Okay. Well, thanks for clarifying.
For clarifying a thing you didn't know and didn't really care about.
I'm taking the day off, so I haven't followed any of that stuff. In fact, I apologize for being 10 minutes late to this interview. I was completely oblivious. So, anyway, good to chat with you guys. And yes,
thanks for coming. See you next week.
Yeah, take care. We're excited about Steph, and you know, whenever it happens. I mean, he's doing well, and he'll scrimmage again tomorrow, and we'll see how he responds and how he's doing, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later. But in the meantime, our guys are doing a great job of just, you know, keeping us afloat and racking up some wins. And amazingly, we went from like 10th to 5th in about 24 hours, I think.
Coach, we like to say, it's kind of cliche, you know, defense is all about effort. But it's also about skill and scheme. They matter too. The level of defense you played the last couple of games, the different schemes you've used, are we perhaps seeing this team reestablish a sense of identity?
Well, I think it'll take more than two games for that to happen. But I think we are seeing our team establish some grit and some chemistry and a little bit of momentum here. And that's exciting. Hopefully this recent defensive play will continue. We've got a really tough matchup with the Clippers tomorrow. So I think it takes a longer run than just two games to really make that statement, but I like the path that we're on.
You've had two game runs like this earlier in the year. Is there anything about this one that strikes you as different? Or, I mean, is it simply a matter of, you know, do it more than twice, do it on the road? Is that really what the litmus test is at this point?
Yeah, just the fact that I even said two-game run, I mean, that's like an oxymoron, right? That's two games is not a run. Yeah. I think that's the point.
So it's a runlet.
We have run-like.
Runlet.
So you say?
Yeah.
Runlet. Yeah. I mean, we've got to do more than just win a couple. We had the one stretch in December when we won five in a row, gathered some momentum, and then got Steph back, and then Steph got the injury again. So and then Wiggs, has been out. So it feels like we've just sort of been trying to find it, and then hit with something, and trying to find it, but this feels a little different. It just feels, I guess, because we're down to 20 games left, and we can see the finish line. We can see Steph's impending return. Hopefully this is all a sign that our team's coming together and that we're going to get healthy and be in a really good place.
What does it tell you, if anything, that in the 24 games he's missed, you guys are 12-12, and that the wheels actually haven't come off?
Well, it tells me that our guys have been fighting like crazy, and that they deserve a lot of credit. I know it's been a season where there's been plenty of criticism, lots of it justified, but I think it's important to see how guys have responded to the adversity too. And we've had a lot of guys who have really stepped up and played big minutes for us and played well. Last night, yet again, another great Dante DiVincenzo performance, and Lamb and Kuminga and Ty Jerome all coming off the bench and playing well. And we're getting a great version of Klay Thompson. I think this is the best he's looked in the year and a half now since he returned, or whatever it is, 14 months. So we're with a lot of really positive signs, and the guys are hanging tough. I mean, 12-12 without Steph, and also Wiggs for, I would think, the majority of those 24 games. So it's exciting to see them do it.
Coach, 29 from Jordan Poole last night. He had 6 assists. We know that you had a sit down with him. What from your conversation with Jordan Poole would you be willing to share with us in terms of how it may have related to his play last night?
Well, don't take it personally, but nothing.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. No, those conversations are private, and I think it was picked up on camera, and that was how it made it out. But I have visits with players all the time. I mean, that's what coaching is. It's not drawing a play on a board. It's communicating with your players and trying to help them be the best versions of themselves. And so all season long, these conversations happen, whether it's with me or with our assistant coaches. The player, we're communicating with our players constantly, trying to help them get better. And each one really faces a unique set of circumstances, not only on the court, but off, and it's up to us to understand those circumstances and really connect with our guys and try to coach them and get to know them as well as we can, because those things go hand in hand.
Are you surprised that the conference is still as convoluted as it was a month ago and 2 months ago? Would you have expected under, I don't want to say normal conditions, but would you have expected by now that some teams would have either pulled away or dropped off?
Yeah, I would have expected that, because that's normally been the case over the years. I mean, I've never seen it like this. I do wonder if the play-in format is part of what we're seeing. Maybe in the past you would have seen a couple of more teams not go for it at the trade deadline, and maybe fade. I don't want to use the word tank, but maybe not push as hard to get into the play-in range. So maybe that's part of it. I think also it's legitimately a season where everybody's had injuries. Every team up and down the West has just been hit with injuries, and so it's been an inconsistent year for most of us.
Does it make it more difficult for you to try to figure out, what games you can maybe take the foot off the gas a little bit, because every game now is the difference, as you said, between fifth and ninth.
I don't feel like we can ever take our foot off the gas pedal this year. So I just think we're just trying to fight our way through everything. So, you know, we're just taking it game to game, and whoever's available is available. Let's just try to win tomorrow night and see what happens.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about Jonathan Kuminga and how his game has expanded this year. I know there was over the weekend, I think he didn't shoot the ball well, but I think he had 9 assists over 2 games. And I also was hoping you could settle a dispute Ray and I are having, because that dunk he had last night and the Shaedon Sharpe dunk, I think it's very rare in one NBA game that we have 2 dunks of that caliber. Ray says that happens all the time. I mean, I don't think so. You've played in games, you've coached for a long time. Who's right on that front, and how about the way Kuminga's game has been expanding at times this year?
Yeah, I'm more with Ray on that one.
They were both
special dunks, but this is the NBA, man. These guys are incredible athletes. I think we see a lot of high flying stuff these days. As for JK, he's really doing well. You know, he's learning so much every game, and frankly he needs to, because he's such a young player, he's so raw, he doesn't have a ton of basketball experience, and so every second he can get on the floor, whether it's in practice or in the games, is really important for him. And he's playing well, he's doing a really good job defensively on the ball, and he's learning more and more about spacing and cutting. That was a good example of a play where he kind of circled behind the defense and got to the opening. Ty Jerome found him, and it was a really nice play from both guys. But yeah, JK's young and talented, and we're just trying to coach him along, and he's doing a great job.
You said earlier in our conversation that this was a day where you were sort of, you know, quote, out of it, meaning that I would take that you were basically took a day away from basketball just to take away a day away from basketball. Is that harder to do this year when there are 9 teams in that group of 10 who are playing tonight, and that your curiosity might get the best of you? Or can you really not watch a game tonight?
No, I mean, I was watching our game from last night. I haven't turned on League Pass yet. That probably comes in an hour or so, but I was watching our game this afternoon, but we did not practice this morning, so you know, took the morning off, and on a day like this with a back-to-back coming, I think it really is important to just at least take part of the day and get away. But it's rare to get a full day this time of year, and I couldn't quite do it.
Steve, we look at teams, NBA teams, often that are struggling defensively, and it's hard to figure out realistically how a team can improve defensively. It's easy to say, we have to be better defensively, but how do you do that? Last year, as you well know, you guys were 2nd in the league in defensive rebounding percentage. I remember you saying that surprised you as much as anything about your team at the time. This year, you're 13th. The numbers were excellent last night. So is that an area, I'm not saying you're terrible at it this year, but is that an area in which the defense realistically can continue to get better if you continue to improve in that department?
Yeah, I think those things often go hand in hand, Whitey. You know, you just, if you play a good defensive possession, you're generally in position to box out and to get a board. So they do go together. And I think, you know, when you talk about last year, it's tough for me to compare the two seasons. I just feel like the personnel groupings
sure.
are so different.
Sure.
And you know, that was a championship team that ultimately, you know, we won 53 games, I think, and won a title. So we're trying to reach that level of play this year, but it's been a much different roster and a lot of injury, missed games for injury. But we got, you know, this has more been about trying to pull the team together and get the young guys to really get up to speed. And it's been a fun year in that regard. I think our fans are, even though they might be frustrated, I think they must be entertained, because we're doing a lot of interesting stuff.
When you saw that Damian Lillard went for 71 on Sunday night, were you gratified with the likelihood that he wasn't going to go for 70 again?
Yeah, that may or may not have had something to do with our game plan last night. So, that guy's incredible. He really is. And there's no way we were going to give him free rein. When we played them in Portland a couple weeks ago, he lit us up. And the biggest thing was the free throws. I think he went 16 for 16 from the line. And so the biggest goal last night was to limit his free throws. And we were able to do that. He only got five. But that took a huge effort with a lot of schemes and a lot of individual defense. And, that's the guy you have to game plan for when you play Portland.
So just to sum up, Steve, some of the things you've said, some of the things that Bob Myers said today on the station, Warrior fans excited again. There's a runlet here, two games. And we've seen that before this year. So in your view, why do you think there's a good chance that this could be real? This could be the start of something rather than, winning streak and then you're losing again, as we've seen so far this year.
I think just the nature of these last couple games, coming back from down big to both Minnesota and Portland, what the locker room felt like, after the game, just the measure of grit that existed, it felt good, and it felt a little different than it felt earlier in the year.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, since you've been downtime today, you probably didn't see this. There was a poll in The Athletic, and maybe you heard about it. 101 former NBA players were asked a lot of questions, and one of the questions was, which current NBA coach would you most want to play for? And congratulations, you got, I think, 28% of the vote. You were the number one answer, former NBA player. Yes. I want to play for Steve Kerr. How about that, coach?
That's very flattering. I did not know that. That's great to hear.
Who finished second, by the way?
I think it was Pop. I have to double check. Yeah.
Wow, that's a dichotomy.
There was one player, I think his name was Stephen Howard. He used to play for Dallas, and he just said, he had a quote that, Steve Kerr sounds like he gives you a chance to, work your way into a system and understand what's going on and treat you respectfully. So anyway, congratulations. I thought it should have been, by a wider margin, but you were the number one answer, coach, so good for you.
I think they just enjoy the fact that I allow my team to turn it over 18 times.
That's a remarkably charitable attitude, and I'm wondering if that's the difference between you and Pop, that he tends to frown on turnovers more than you do.
I do think part of my philosophy is giving the players a lot of freedom, because I think one of the reasons Steph and Clay are who they are is because they are so audacious. They're so daring. And I don't want them to ever lose that. I'd like for them to, take care of, a little better care of the ball. But if that's how it is, then I think we'll take it.
Thanks, coach. We'll let you go on this one. We see this with a lot of coaches. We obviously, Draymond quite often will come to you and, circling the finger, like, we got to review that. And I wonder what it's like for a coach. Obviously, there's a lot of things that go into it. Score, time. But how difficult is that sometimes when you're, okay, this is a player who's playing his ass off and he wants me to review something. I'm not really sure I want to. How delicate can that decision be when you've got a player, and often it's Draymond, but not always, giving you the circling, like, yeah, we got to review that?
It's a great question, and it really depends on circumstances. We do that every once in a while, usually for Draymond, but it depends on the time and score. If you really need to save it, you save it. But every once in a while, you just got to back your guy and go with it.
I would think if there's a decision like that that involves like a score and a foul, then it's like, well, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get more out of it than get like maybe points removed and have a foul removed. So, I mean, I'm sure that's part of it too sometimes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You factor all that stuff in. Plus, are you going to lose a timeout or not? So, there's a lot to sort through.
All right, coach, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Good luck tomorrow night and the rest of the way.
All right, thanks, guys. We'll see you later.
Steve Kerr with us on 95.7 The Game. It's almost like he had better things to do than talk to us.
Please.
And how in the world does he come?
If he was,
where does he get off agreeing with you on the dunk issue?
If he was lifting a piano with his tongue, that would still be a better thing to do than talk to us.
I think that was coach speak. He didn't want to give Shaden Sharpe too much credit. It's like, yeah, we see dunk.
No, he knows.
That's all that was. That's all that was, Ray.
He publicly agreed with a troll like me. The shame in that.
Yeah.
By well, any it's also, standard.
It's like, I don't talk to Whitey every week. I talk to Ray every week, so I probably got to... Anyway, congratulations.
I don't think that was it. I think he simply recognized game.
Mm-hmm. I know that some people on the text line get a little irritated when we talk about Wiggins. Somebody yesterday on the text line was saying it's disrespectful. And look, we don't know what's going on with Wiggins. And obviously, whatever it is more important than basketball. But just from a basketball standpoint, because that is what we talk about, the Warriors need him back. And he's got to take care of his business. But they do need him back because he's so important to what they do, obviously. So Bob Myers today... when he was on with JD and with Guru, was asked if there's a chance, given what the Warriors know, that is there a chance that we don't see Wiggins the rest of this season?
I don't think so. Look, I don't want to speak on his personal life, and I know you don't either. I know you're not asking that. I don't think that's what anybody is planning for, but we'll leave that in his own place. But as far as to answer your question the best I can, that's not the expectation. I think what you're asking is could he remain out for a long, long time. I don't think that's happening, but I'm going to leave that alone. And hopefully when he gets back, whatever words he would like to say on it, which I don't think will be much because it's his private life, he will do. But you know, I understand in your business you have to ask these questions and it's your job. But I also got to respect, and I think you're saying the same thing, the privacy of what he's going through.
So hopefully that's good news on both fronts. Hopefully it means that there's reason to think it's will be resolved relatively soon. And again, from the basketball standpoint, which is secondary, sounds like the Warriors are expecting that he'll be back before too long.
I wouldn't even offer a guess because it's been a while already.
Right.
It's described as a family matter, and I wouldn't want to guess when he's coming back.
No, I don't either, but yeah.
But I mean, I don't know that it's going to be anytime soon. I mean, we know... essentially nothing, except that he's not here. So you have to just take that at face value as though he's not a member of the team right now.
What do you... sometimes you're cynical about these things.
No, not me.
What do you make of Coach Kerr saying it feels different this time? Yes, the Warriors have been up, they've been down, they win games, they lose games. It feels different. Feels like they're getting... I think he said it feels grittier, just the reaction from the players. They do have reinforcements coming. What do you make of that notion that, yeah, it feels like this is different this time, that we are getting ready to turn a corner?
I think the takeaway is not that sentence. I think the takeaway is two games is not something to, you know, call a trend. I think that's the truth. And I think that's what I was saying earlier, is that, you know, they've done this before. They've had runs where they've kept teams, you know, in the aughts rather than in the teens or in the 20s. But it's about sustaining it. And that's the difference between an intermittently attentive defensive team and a good defensive team. The Warriors have not been a good defensive team this year. In fact, they've been, by their standards, abysmal. The trick is how you manage to reinforce what he's seen in the last, really, three games, because the game before that, I think they gave up 104. And make this an important part of everybody's game. I mean, you've never gotten the sense that people are all in on defending. It's always been we'll shoot our way out of it. And I think they've seen over, you know, 60 games that, no, you're not. There are teams that are better offensively than you.
One of the basketball terms that offends me is when teams play different types of defense, and there's a term I'm sure you're familiar with it. They junk it up defensively. And I don't like that, because that's legitimate, like what the Warriors did with a box and one. Old school way of looking at it. Oh, they junked it up. Well, and I think Steph used to use that term talking about what Nick Nurse did to him. But I think this team needs maybe more of that. And I think that's encouraging, the coaching staff, and Draymond talked about it, they seem to be recognizing that, all right, we're going to have to try more things because we're smallish. We don't have a lot of speed and quickness on the perimeter, especially given the fact that we're shorthanded. So maybe we need to try that. I think it's a great idea. So far, it's worked against some lesser teams, but I think that's a positive trend going forward. And hopefully they've hit on something there that's going to make a difference defensively.
Maybe. I mean, you know, again, they got to prove it to me.
Of course.
I mean, 60 games of this, you know, doesn't convince me that they've solved the problem for the next 22. It's show me you can do it night in and night out, and then I'll buy it. He tends to look at more nuanced defensive things, not stuff you pull out of the box score. And if he says it feels different to him, I suppose we can give him some rope, you know, in terms of benefit of the doubt. But I think he is closer to what we think, or at least what I think, in that he says, well, we have to do it way more often than two games. And I think...
And against, frankly, against better teams.
Against better teams and a different gym. Because the other stretch they had that where they were holding teams down was also during an extended homestand. I mean, they basically have to prove they can win away from home. And more for this reason than any other, they're not going to have home court advantage in the playoffs. They're not going to catch Denver or Memphis.
You're telling me that four is out of the question? I'm only a game out of the fourth spot right now.
Yeah, but
fourth is home court, baby.
But you only get to have home court once.
It depends who loses. Depends what happens.
You only get to have home court once.
Probably. Most
likely. In all likelihood.
Yes, yes.
Because do you see Denver losing to whatever team ends up
eighth? I can't see the future, Ray. I don't know. I can't foretell.
You're a coward. I appreciate that about you. You're gripped by fear.
No, I don't see that happening. I also don't understand, like you, I don't understand Charlotte's alternate jerseys tonight, but that's neither here nor there. They're not a very good team, and no one's going to pay much attention to them anyway.
No, I just, you know, the thing about the Warriors is they've proven nothing. Everything that people hang their hats on with this team is based on their history, not on what they've done this year.
But their recent history.
It doesn't matter how recent it is. Last year is a million years ago.
Well, that's the question. Does it matter or not? I don't know, but that's the question.
I don't think anybody's afraid of them anymore. I mean, I think last year when they started getting a role in the postseason, I think Dallas got freaked by it.
Yep.
I think Memphis got freaked about it, especially once Morant went out. I think last year they could do some things on reputation. I don't think they can this year. I think they're going to have to earn it like the way they had to earn it in 15, only that's 8 years ago.
I think they believe they can get that back, that aura of invincibility, that intimidation, if they're healthy and they're playing well. And I think that's one of the things that was impressive and encouraging about last night. As I've mentioned, you know, the Warriors used to destroy teams in the third quarter, and they did that last night. Yeah, it was Portland, and it was shorthanded Portland, but still 39-17. That's the type of thing that if they can continue anything close to that again, other teams are going to start to take notice, and then maybe you get some of that intimidation back. Maybe.
Maybe, but they can't judge how other teams are intimidated. That's, you know, all they can do is play as well as they can. The other team will decide if they're afraid of you. And right so far, there's no reason to be afraid of these guys.
I just think it's hard to make teams afraid of you in the postseason when, I know they did it last year, but when you're so small.
But they were small last year.
I know they were. I know, said they need size, and JD said they don't, and he was right. But boy, I just think it'd sure be nice to have at the end of the bench sometimes.
Well,
nice to be like, hey, we are young.
True, but they're not going to have size.
They don't have that.
I know. I mean, it's like, boy, I wish I had a 3-car garage. Well, you don't have a car, so why do you need a garage? I mean, the fact is, that's going to come into play when they play Denver, if they play Denver. And the truth is, nobody's got an answer for Jokic.
Mm-hmm. And maybe Phoenix could come into play.
Maybe Phoenix, although I think Phoenix
could come into play when you play the Clippers tomorrow. Ivica Zubac.
If that's what you think.
He's big and Plumlee.
No, just being big is not the be all and end all. It's can you use your size? And the fact is, the only team that you can point to and say they really use their size is Denver. Phoenix is going to be a radically different team with Durant, and they're going to be playing smaller, not necessarily in terms of lineup, but the way they play. I think they'll be playing faster, which means size is not as compelling a need, because the Warriors always played at a high pace, and they didn't need size for that either. So
they had size. I mean, they had Azeli. They had Bogut.
Well, don't say Azeli. Azeli was never really a factor.
Well, yeah, he played, and they had JaVale McGee. That's my point.
I'll give you Bogut. But
they had options. Didn't Azeli start Game 7 of the Finals? 2016, I believe he started Game 7.
Was that by design, though?
Well, Bogut was hurt, but he was available.
Yeah, thank you. You think he would have played if Bogut was healthy?
He would have played, yeah. I don't know that he would have started. It's not like he never played. I'm just saying.
But he was not an impact player at any point.
But they had size, is my point. It was available to you. And you had Zaza, and he used to start. And now they don't have that anymore. And last year, I guess that proved that, well, you don't really need it. I just think it'd be nice to have. But
it would be nice to have, but it would also be nice to have the three-car garage and be able to fill it.
If you haven't, I think the deadline was yesterday for signing someone so that they'd be eligible for the playoffs. So if you're waiting for Nerlens Noel to come, you know, through that door, it ain't happening, right?
No, I mean, nor should it. I mean, quite frankly, this is who they are, and we've been saying that all along.
Coming up, another milestone for Nikola Jokic. How significant is it? What does it mean? That's next here. It's Damon and Ratto, Whitey in for Damon. And I just want to take a moment to let you know that it's a Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name since 1922. Visit friedmansappliance.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
What in for Damon? Damon should be back tomorrow. Ray, I know it's the last week. I've been in with you a lot lately while Damon's been on
Sorry
vacation.
About that.
That's okay. One of the things we talked about was your guy Joey Bart And I know there's been a lot of back and forth about Joey Bart and the Giants are down on Joey Bart. I was in with Larry on Friday, and Larry said he had a source who says, yeah, the Giants are they're just about done with this guy. And you said he was your answer to the question, who's going to end up having the better career overall of Trey Lance, Wiseman, or Joey Bart? And you said Joey Bart. I don't know where the Giants are with him, but he's off to a great start. And I got to think a lot of this noise the Giants have made, nothing's guaranteed, we're down on Joey Bart. Aren't they just trying to send a message to him? Because he's really going to be, isn't he their best catcher on the roster right now still?
No. Austin wins. He's magic. Listen, I don't know if that's coming from, I don't know who Larry's sources are. I doubt that it's coming from anybody with the power to make a decision with the Giants, because one of the things we've learned about them is they're too tight-lipped for their own good. So I don't think anybody's out there in a position to know, whispering how the Giants feel about Joey Bart.
But we do know it was reported, and they were behind it, far on, and gave Kapler that, yeah, nothing's guaranteed for him this year.
I think they want to make sure that he is trying to achieve what they believe he can achieve, because it's not like he had a good year last year.
No.
I think what they're saying is, yeah, last year was not good enough.
Have you, by the way, seen enough of the baseball to have any idea how the new rules are going so far?
I don't think we'll know till the regular season starts. I mean, their hitters don't like it. Max Scherzer said this will be a great weapon for him, because I think he really thinks about stuff like that more than most pitchers do. I think it'll make games faster, but I think it might depress offense. And everything that baseball has tried to do to increase offense works at the expense of a faster game.
I know. They can't get out of their own way. They're at cross purposes. 1968, games were really fast, and they were 2-1.
Yep.
And then they had to figure out something else.
Then they expanded. Then they went to the designated
hitter. They also lowered the mound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they did a lot of stuff. But the truth is, it's easier to defend than it is to play. I mean, that's been true in every sport. Even now, when you look at the NFL and you look at Kansas City and you go, God, who can stop them? A bunch of teams actually did a pretty good job stopping them in the regular season. Even with Patrick Mahomes, who is, to call him a unicorn is to diminish him. I mean, he's rarer than a unicorn, if such a thing is possible.
I don't know how.
But for the most part, if you give a defensive coordinator enough times, he can clamp down on whatever you got.
Not in today's NFL.
Yeah, in today's NFL. Scoring was down. So.
By the way, the Panthers are going to be tough to stop, because it looks like they're zeroing in on a new quarterback. They talked to a free agent. Coach Frank Reich said, checks a lot of boxes, no question, very accomplished. So we may have a match, we'll see, between the Carolina Panthers and Derek Carr.
Well, you know what? The Jets said that they could make him a first-round Hall of Famer. So this is just gas-bagging. Let's see who wants to pay him the $40 million.
Mm-hmm. Would you?
If I needed a quarterback badly enough and he was the best thing out there, yeah.
I don't know. If I'm the Jets, I can get Jimmy for a lot cheaper, and I could probably get more value. They're basically the same quarterback.
I'm not sure they are the same quarterback.
What do you like more about Carr?
The fact that he's no longer the Raiders' property. Because the Raiders didn't know what to do with him. And I don't want to be the guy who always bashes the Raiders, but their organization is so behind the curve on everything. I think it's fair to look at Carr's like seeming deterioration over the last 3 years and go, you know what? On a real NFL team that knows what it's doing and is well organized, he wouldn't be like that.
Give me Broadway Jimmy. I'd like to see that happen. Of course, Derek Carr is.
There's a chance you might see that happen here.
No.
No?
No.
What if Purdy's elbow turns out to be worse than they thought?
Save it for next time you're on with Alan Stiles, Ray. Come on.
Okay, fair enough.
I heard you guys talking.
You're right. I talked about it yesterday, and on the way home, I felt like waves of depression. I literally thought about driving off the bridge.
I enjoyed listening to you guys. How impressed should we be by this? Is this a thing? Nikola Jokic, sixth player with 100 career triple-doubles. You got Westbrook, Oscar Robertson, Magic, Jason Kidd, LeBron, and now Nikola Jokic. only the sixth player with 100 career triple-doubles. What do you make of that?
It's a meaningless stat, but it tells you that he's as good an all-around player as there is. And it's why he remains the prohibitive favorite to win a third MVP.
I think he's somehow underrated, even though he could win a third consecutive.
Oh, I think he's profoundly underrated because people don't like to watch him play because he's not easy on the eyes. But you look up, like last night, he had like 14 points, but he still had a triple-double and they still won.
And the Nuggets have won each game in which he has had a triple-double this season, 28 straight dating to last season. I'm so glad that we ended this way because I'm with you. Triple-doubles are kind of meaningless. And they used when Oscar Robertson averaged it for a whole year, they didn't even the term didn't exist. And I think Magic brought it into the vernacular. And then all of a sudden people, you know, it's like a guy with 45-9 did not have as good of a game as a guy who had 11-11-11 because, oh, he had a triple-double.
Triple-double is a nonsense number. But it's not so much of a nonsense number that you can't, that you can just dismiss it. Because if you get 10 assists in a game, then a hell of a job. You get 10 rebounds in a game, you know, and you get 10 assists, means you're pretty good. I mean, if you keep doing it, yeah, you're pretty good. Is it the be-all and end-all? No.
Yeah.
It's a catch-all stat that doesn't really tell you who the most important players are.
Well said. If someone can post a triple-double, wow, they're very multi-skilled. But just, I have the most triple-doubles. Meaningless. Give me the quadruple-double, right?
Give me the guy who makes everybody else better and gets you wins.
And Jokic is that, too.
Jokic is that, too. I mean, say what you want about him. Team's 16 games better than they were a year ago. And a lot of that is Murray and Porter, but somebody's making them better than they've been in the past. That would be Jokic.
We could go now, Ray, but I'd rather read this because I don't want
to go
yet.
No, let's go.
For all of our best content, head to YouTube, search 95.7 The Game, and click subscribe. You'll see all of our shows live, the best interviews, the most interesting segments, behind-the-scenes content from the Warriors and more. It's all on 95.7 The Game YouTube page. Subscribe. You want to know what's coming
Truthfully,
up?
Truthfully, yeah? You didn't have to read that. We could be gone by now.
You want to know what's coming up on 95.7 The Game?
Is it going to make me stand here another minute?
Well, it depends how quickly I read it. What's coming up on The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, Warriors Roundtable, Kevin Dana, and Gary St. Jean. A full hour of Warriors talk after last night's win over the Blazers. Thanks for listening. Enjoy Warriors Roundtable with Kevin Dana and Gary
St. Jean. Remember, yeah. Sports don't build character. They build Festus Ezeli.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.